So we're going to continue our look at some Christian evidences. And before we get into this, I'm going to remind everyone, that when we use Christian evidences, they are not to save somebody. They are nothing more than a tool to get them on the same playing field as us. We want them to see that without a shadow of doubt, there's no denial that God exists. We can show them verse after verse after verse, but if they do not believe that God exists, it's meaningless to them. And that is the purpose of us going over these Christian evidences and taking a look at them. So, one of the things we looked at this morning was about theories. And theories are nothing more than just opinions. They're not backed up with facts. They're not truths. But today we're going to look at some truths, or this afternoon I should say, we're going to look at some truths about the world and how we know it and how that has to prove that there is a creator. So that's what we're going to look at today. So one of the arguments out there is called the cosmological argument. This is an argument that every effect must have a cause adequate enough to produce that effect. We have a really wonderful building here. We have the wonderful heat that's in here. We have our cars. We have our homes. Did all of them just happen? Boom, just like that. And we can argue easily. Logically speaking, no, they couldn't have. They did not just appear out of nothing. And I know Brother David, he comes and he talks about things like that as well. How he's got that watch, I believe it is, he says, that you can shake it up as many times as you want. It's never going to have that. And that's exactly what this theory is beginning to talk about, is that we cannot argue that these things were not started out as an idea, started out by somebody creating it. And that's where this cosmological idea comes in. Again, we look outside and we see those trees, we see the snow that's out there. We didn't see a snowman just fall out of the sky, did we? Absolutely not. We have to build those things. We have to think about it, what it's going to be like. But if we see those trees, we see those birds, or see us, we see that there is absolutely a creator. So we go back to Hebrews 3. Hebrews chapter 3. And verse 4 says, "For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God." So we've got to prove to people that God exists before this verse even works. But the fact of the matter is that we can see logically that in order for something to be here, something or someone had to create it. Someone or something had to put it there. It didn't just magically appear out of nothing. And we see that. We've studied in Genesis chapter 1. We can go there. You can see all the many different things that God has built. In verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth," and so forth. We see the animals he's created, the plants, us. God created them. God put them here. And if we look at verse 21, let's drop down to that. It says, "And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which is in the waters, brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good." We have here biblical proof of the age-old question we've talked about before, is which came first, chicken or the egg? God clearly put the chicken here first. Well, in this case, it would be a bird or something, but God put them here first. Then came their egg, allowed them to reproduce afterwards. As Christians, that's what we should know. There should be no doubt. It should be logical that the animal came first. So two proven laws that are, we're going to kind of get into the science-y side of things here. Two proven laws we'll now look at. First being the law of thermodynamics. This law states that energy cannot be created or it cannot be destroyed. However, it can change its form. We can think of this in the mindset of water or H2O. We can see that we can change it from a liquid form to a solid by sticking it in the freezer, or if in a closed system, we can make it into a gas. But it's still the same thing. It hasn't lost anything. Now, the question being is, in a closed system, this is where all these testings are being done, all these laws are tested that when it's kept in this state, it won't lose anything. But we look outside, we get people that come up to us and they'll say, we're not in a closed system. The world is pretty open and wide. That's true. It is. But what are we part of? Are we not part of a solar system or a universe? By definition, the word universe means everything in the world, or everything contained in the cosmos. It is considered a closed system. Anything outside of that cannot exist. Otherwise, it's part of it. Logically speaking, then, we are in a closed system. The world may be open, but in the broader spectrum, and I know it's kind of a vast area to think about, but we are in a bottled situation. However, we know there is, what there is outside of this universe is God. And how is that possible? He's a spiritual being. It's not something physical. Everything physical outside of this world is the known universe, isn't the cosmos. That is physical. But God is, okay? Simply speaking, is we had nothing in this spot. We had nothing in this spot. And these two nothings decided that they wanted to become something. So they collided and boom, everything happens. I have two nothings in my hand right now. Nothing. No explosion. Nothing happened. Because you cannot take two nothings and make something of it. It's logical. You don't need to be a scientist to understand that. Nothing plus nothing. Zero plus zero is zero. Very simple, very easy, very logical. Next, we see a second law of thermodynamics. It tells us that each time a matter changes its form, it loses energy. And scientists use this, the term entropy, and then just similar breaking down. So days like today, when it's nice and cold outside, you know, I know Mike and Diane have that nice fire they got going on, and their wood-burning stove. I'm sure some of you guys have it too. But the fact of the matter is, you put that log in, does that log just keep burning and burning and burning and burning? No, because it deteriorates. It breaks down. Once it's become all that ash, it's no good anymore. It's lost all of its energy to heat your home, to heat you, but you never are going to get that wood back. You're going to have to keep adding more wood to the fire. That would make it a lot easier during winter season. You wouldn't have to keep cutting more wood. It would be always there. Another thing is, we build houses. No matter how good we do it, how perfect it may be, that house, through the test of time, it's going to deteriorate. We're going to have to repair it. Have to put up a new roof. Have to redo your deck. Whatever it may be, it's going to need repaired. Things break down. Just like our car. There's a reason when you drive that brand new car off the lot that it instantly loses price. It's devaluing because it's not worth as much. You don't expect a car after 200,000 miles to be just as good as it was at 3 or 4 miles, do you? No, it's breaking down. When we've changed things, it loses the energy. Matter is not eternal. It's very interesting. Another law of that is the law of biogenesis, which states that life only comes from life. We can test this out in our homes. It's actually kind of a cool test. You take a little plastic cup, container, whatever you may be, get a little bit of potting soil. Make sure it's not the ground dirt out here because there could be chances of being contaminated. But just get regular potting soil that has nothing in it. Water it every day. What do you expect is going to happen from that water? You're going to get a nice blooming daisy? You're going to get a daffodil? You're going to get a tree? What are you going to get? Nothing. Life comes from life. If we look back here at Genesis 1:11, it talks about this. It says, where'd it go? And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Without that life of the seed that God put on this earth, there's nothing going to grow in that cup. Two nothings that had no life in them could not suddenly become life. It is not possible. It is not logical to be teaching that. The one that gave that plant life and life on this planet as we know it, obviously, is God. Let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 10. In order for life to be created, something living had to exist. Jeremiah 10, verses 10 through 13 is what we're going to read. It says, "But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, and he is an everlasting king. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not been made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from this earth and from under these heavens. He hath made the earth by his power, he hath established it in the world by his wisdom, and he hath stretched out the heavens by his discretions. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. Then he maketh lightning, and he rain, and bringeth forth out of the wind of his treasures." God created everything. God is living. That is the only way that life could be created, is if it came from something that was already alive. It kind of goes back to this whole cause and effect, this the first principle that we are looking at, that something first had to come. Something for us to have life had to come first. That first was God. Logical question based on these few laws here that a person would ask, and I'm sure you've been asked it yourselves, is if we have to have a creator. We had to have a creator build this house. And then we know that this creator that built this house or this church building had a mom and dad. You know, they had, you know, you keep going back and forth, that they had physical parents. You see that. But what happens when you put that in God? You'll try to apply these laws, these physical laws, the laws that have been proven to be true over and over again, not theories. What happens if we apply this to God? And then we have an infinite chain of, well, God created God, and God created this God, and so forth, and so forth, and so forth. It never ends. Anything of the physical realm cannot be applied to the spiritual. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. And it reads, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of which is of God. And we mighteth know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are the spiritual discerned." You can't understand spiritual things. You can't compare spiritual things unless you use spiritual principles, spiritual beliefs. We can't take and apply our physical laws to God. God is an eternal God. God has always been there. God didn't need to be created. If God created another deity, let's just put this in this perspective. If you thought about this, one thing God can't do, God can't create another God. And why is that? Because if God created another God, the idea would be that he's no longer eternal. The next God would be lower. It would be lesser power. He could never create an equal of himself. Quite interesting to think about. So, God did not have a creator because it's a spiritual world. It's different. The rules do not apply there. There still has to be an initial creator of time, of life. And that is something, like we said, that has to be eternal, something that is everlasting. in order for there to be a cause and effect in this relation, our first cause, or our cause of having time, of having life, has to be from something that was without time, eternal. And that's where we get these principles, these laws that will teach us. Clearly, if we sat down and talked to somebody, and we showed these things to them, it's not rocket science. It's a no-brainer. As we talked this morning, it's our responsibility to talk to people about these things. We can't just slam the Bible in their face. They're not going to listen to us. Yes, they need the Bible. They will not go to heaven without it. Let's not misunderstand that at all. You cannot teach salvation without the Bible. But you can teach somebody to understand that God is real through these other principles. Small list of things to consider when talking about first causes. And this is just a list here I'm going to read off. It says, in order to have limitless space, we needed a creator, first of all, is infinite. Do we not have that with God? In order to have endless times, as we said, we need an eternal creator. To have perpetual motion, that is, continuous energy, without consuming energy, we need somebody that's omnipotent. We have that in God. Unbound variety, omnipresent. Infinite complexity, omniscience. All things are things we've studied before in the Bible. Things that we've seen with God, that he's everywhere. He's everything. He's without energy, or without need for energy. We've seen back here in Genesis chapter 2. A lot of people think, well, God did have energy, or had a limit to his energy. And they come back here. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished. And on the this is verse 1 of chapter 2, by the way. It says, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and rested on the seventh day from his work which he had made. People take this the wrong way. People think that, oh, that just means God kicked back. He took a break. He was tired. You know, dad comes home from work and puts up the recliner. That's not what God did here. With the resting, the verse tells us what it means. It says, on the seventh day, he ended his work. That's all he did. God didn't need to stop creating. There was nothing more for him to create that he needed. God is without limits. And it's because of that, though, we can trust in him. We can know that he was capable of creating this world, creating it in the perfection that we have, creating it so that the earth is such a tilt that 1 degree off would be wrong and we'd die. God was wonderful. There's nothing wrong with studying science, looking at some of these proofs and these laws and the things that are true, but we have to take it with a grain of salt. We have to make sure that the scientists that we're following are not going, first of all, by opinion. They're not using their feelings. They're not using their emotions. That we're just sticking to facts. And that's how we study the Bible, isn't it? We don't just stand up here and listen to somebody talk without going home and figuring out, well, did they teach me right? Did they tell me the right things? We do the same thing. Go back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 17. Following our heart and, you know, following scientists because they say something that makes us feel good. You know, yeah, it feels good to know that I can just act up the way I do because I came from monkeys or apes or whatever. 17:9. It reads, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10, it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God knows our heart, but he knows that we can be wicked if we were left to it. We saw earlier with the verse about the children, if they were left to their own ways. We're no different than them. We need focus on God. If we put our heart into things, we're not talking about giving it your all. We're talking about, am I just that I love to hear it? You know, It would make me feel good to have somebody up here playing guitar. Well, that's not what the Bible says. We have to stick to the facts. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." We have to control our heart. It's just like our tongue. We have to control them, or else we're going to have problems. If we start mixing up our emotions and our feelings and what we think the world should be, then we're doomed. If we start thinking what God's word means based on our own feelings, then we're not doing it God's way. It's the same thing whenever we look at science. We have to look at facts. It's a fact that nothing can never create life. That's a fact. Has to be something living. You can't have two nothings just... Look, nothing. I can do this all day and nothing's going to happen. Because nothing is nothing. When you start deteriorating things, you start creating things out of it. We take down a tree. We start making it into planks. That wood is going to start decaying. It's not got life in it anymore. Make a car, that metal in it deteriorates over time. Without God, we have nothing. This world is a ticking down. We need God. It's kind of a long science-y thing today, and hopefully you guys learned plenty from it. We know that there's no other way but the truth. If there's any today that are searching the truth, and you see that there's no other path but the logical path, and that's the way it all should be. God is the logical path. The only logical answer to life on this earth is through God. If there's any among us that need to respond to the message today, please stand as we and come forward as we stand and sing. Lion's calls, we lay rings.